This is Scott Becker with the Becker Group Business Leadership Podcast. I'm thrilled today to have one of the nicest, smartest, most principled people I know, Bill Stewart, a seasoned leader and executive on the phone. Bill, can you take a moment and introduce yourself, and then we'll get started and ask you four or five questions. Are there any silver linings to the situation? How do you stay sane and emotionally healthy? Could the federal government have acted differently? What has it made a difference? Where do you put savings now, and what have you learned? Bill, let me start with an introduction.
Sure. My name is Bill Stewart. I met Scott and his team through the Becker's Conference. I've worked in medical devices for over 20 years, and right now I'm working for my own company called VBC Health, and we do consulting for generally small to startup companies in medical device.
Well, congratulations. You're one of the best people I know, so we're thrilled to get a chance to visit with you today. This is a very complicated time for our country and for individuals and people and businesses. Are there any silver linings to this situation? Anything that you could see? And obviously, where somebody's passed away, there are no silver linings. But beyond that, are there any silver linings in this situation?
Yeah, and I'm going to break it into two buckets. The first is personal, and then the second is professional. So for me personally, on the personal side, it's given me a ton more time to focus on my family. And interestingly, while doing that, I think my creative side has come out. You know, I think like all of us, we're in our homes, quarantined. And, you know, my son is heading off to college next year. And so I've really enjoyed getting more time with him before he heads off for college. I'm not traveling for work. He's obviously in the home, and so that's been great. I do daily bike rides with my daughter, and my wife teaches yoga, so I do her class a couple times a week. All that's been great. And then on the creative side, I think like many Americans, I've become a better cook. I'm not super handy in the kitchen under normal circumstances, but what I've learned is with a little bit of effort and a little bit of time, I'm able to pull off some things that I didn't think I could. So like linguine with red clam sauce is now my favorite thing to cook. From a work standpoint, I have always been a big believer that we travel too much and that virtual meetings should be a better option for us. And I'm hopeful that this period of time where that's our only option actually encourages the U.S. to do that on a more wide-scale basis. So telehealth, we're seeing a little bit of a pickup in telehealth. CMS has changed their reimbursement guidelines regarding telehealth, and I hope that trend continues. And then I mentioned personally, I will fly across the country at times for very short meetings with customers. And I feel like that is a waste of resources, time, money, all those things that could be better utilized in other ways. And I hope that companies realize that by using virtual meetings more, things cost less, they potentially save time for their employees, it's good for the planet, it helps reduce pollution and traffic congestion, and at this moment in history, it's probably good for us as humans. So I'm hopeful that that's a lesson that continues after this is all, after the vaccine is created.
Well, fantastic. Let's hope there is a vaccine and one that works. A next question, and maybe you touched on it as part of your silver linings answer. Are there ways that you use to sort of stay sane and stay healthy during this period of time when you can't be out and about?
Sure. I touched on it. I think working out, it's funny. I sent a post to my friends that said, I've worked out 28 of the last 28 days, which for me doesn't always happen because schedules get interrupted by travel. So working out has been critical. I love yoga. I'm a former paratrooper with all the back and knee and hip injuries that come with that. And I've always known that yoga is good for me, but I will say that having this quarantine time has allowed me to commit to it more and has reaffirmed my belief that it's both good mentally and physically. The other thing I found, a lot of people find something like meditation or things like that. I have not personally done meditation, but about 5 years ago, we took a trip to Hawaii and I bought a ukulele and I vowed that I was going to learn to play the ukulele and I never did it. Well, during the quarantine, I figured, hey, I've got some time. So I started taking lessons in the ukulele, and I found that it's, for me, it's almost like a form of meditation. So that has been good. And then last but not least, within my family, we've been very active using technology to connect with family and friends. So one of the first things I did when the quarantine started was I set up a daily game time for my nieces, nephews, and kids. And so they literally hop on a Zoom conference where they can see and chat with each other. And then they play an online game like Monopoly seems to be the favorite. And I think it's been great. You know, the nieces and nephews, we all live in different parts of the country. So I think they're actually more connected now than they were even prior to this. So we've done that with family, with friends. And so we're doing our best to find ways to stay connected.
Let me ask you a question, and that's fantastic. Obviously, the reinforcement of family relationships, cousins, and so forth, fantastic. In terms of the yoga, so people have these online yoga classes. It's easy for some people to get engaged, that hard for others. Because your wife is teaching, are you doing the online class, or are you doing it in person with her actually teaching? How does that work in the Stewart household?
Yeah, in the Stewart household, it's pretty funny, actually. She has sort of like a mini yoga. Our attic got converted into a mini yoga studio. So she's up in the attic teaching the class, and I'm literally in our living room doing the class. So even though I'm taking the class from her, I'm two floors away, and I do it just like all the other students in the class.
Fantastic. Another question, and I'm always curious to hear people's views on it because it gives some insight into what things look like this fall with elections and stuff like that. If the president had acted differently, do we have different outcomes in this country in terms of deaths, in terms of opening up the country?
Yeah.
In trying to understand, is his style and tone the problem, or is it could he have acted differently? Could we have put more effort into X or Y or Z, and would it have made a difference?
Yeah, first off, this should not be considered a political question, right? Like in any situation like this, global pandemic, 9/11, whatever, we should be able to honestly go back and look at what happened and assess it. But unfortunately, in today's environment, even doing that, regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, has become politicized. So I'm hopeful that by answering this question, I don't lose half of my connections. But I'm going to go ahead and give you my view with a couple disclaimers. It's always easier to be an armchair quarterback with great information and all the insight you get from looking backward. All that said, I don't believe our federal government acted as quickly as possible, and I think it had an impact on the timelines and the outcomes. And I'll just give a few specific examples. For me, it starts with testing. You know, one critical component of any pandemic is testing early so that we can immediately begin to contact tracing and really limit the spread of the disease. And I believe that the facts show that our federal government was slow to acknowledge the extent of coronavirus, and they really never took full responsibility for conducting the testing. And as a result, we got behind, you know, and we were behind on testing and tracing very early. And we've been trying to make that up ever since. Now, there's good news and bad news. I suppose the good news is that we have now performed more tests than any other country in the world, and I know that changes depending on the day. But here's the bad news. We have 30% of all infections and 27% of all fatalities. So we've been the most impacted. We absolutely should be leading the world in testing. And when you look at per capita tests, we rank 43rd in the world. That is not what I expect from the U.S. healthcare system. And I think that lack of testing prevented us from fully understanding the spread and getting an accurate mortality rate so that we can do our modeling, which is critical to considerations like opening the economy. Second, yeah, you wanted to ask something?
Well, and the mortality rates are very important to understand how to shape policy as well.
For sure.
Because if the mortality rates are horrible, then we're more aggressive toward shutting down. If the mortality rates are really closer to, because so many people have had this, 0.004%, We know it's bad, but we don't lean as far towards shutting down. There's lots of policy implications. It's really understanding it better. And I know we've done half as many tests per capita as Germany. And again, there's reasons for the slowness in testing. There's no good reasons for the poorness in sort of addressing it nationally and how you address it and how you talk about it. Because we all know that we've not done quite enough testing, regardless of, you know, regardless of whether there's, you know, challenges in getting reagents, challenges in supply chains and stuff like that. Bill, let me go. Let me let you go on.
Yeah. So I think the second thing I would say is pandemics are a global challenge, and we have to work globally to defeat them. And it's fair to say that our current leadership in Washington is more nationalistic. It's not a, you know, not judgment either way, but that's their focus. And so working globally is not something I would say is a strength of the current leadership. This has implications in a pandemic, right? So think about prior pandemics that were brought about. I'll use Ebola as an example. One of the keys to limiting the spread of Ebola was that we sent people to the countries of origin to get better information about the disease and to understand it before it reached the U.S. shores. Now, in fairness, I'm not sure China would have allowed this anyway, and China's clearly not been a good player as far as sharing information, but it is a fact that the CDC had more people in China on the ground, and we reduced those numbers, and I would suggest in hindsight, that's probably a mistake. And then you look at something like the World Health Organization, which is clearly, you know, again, it's flawed, but my preference as an American citizen would be that we work with those organizations and we take the leadership role that America expects to take to help fix them rather than just walk away from them, you know, especially during a global pandemic. And then last, the thing that I really think is eminently fixable by this leadership team and the U.S. government was communication. You know, I think clear, consistent, factual communication is very important. And I think the message from Washington has been poor and erratic. And, you know, example I'll give is announcing on, you know, I'll make this up, announcing on a Monday that you're going to open on Easter, and then on Wednesday of the same week, pushing that back, you know, several weeks. The American public needs to have a clear, consistent message. And it makes it very hard for governors to manage their states when Washington's all over the place. So at the federal level, I think they're trying to balance being optimistic for the economy and the stock market, or realistic, or maybe even conservative for public health. And I will grant that it is a difficult balancing act, but I don't think we've done a great job. And I think when you look one level down at the governors, there are great examples of leadership. And the good news is there are Republicans and Democratic governors who are doing a great job. So places like California, Ohio, Maryland, Kentucky, and even New York, we've seen hands-on leadership with clear, consistent messaging, and it's had a notable impact on flattening the curve in their states.
Thank you. Let me just challenge you in the last statement. It is New York. So New York's responsible for something like half of the deaths, half of the infections, something like that, if not exactly. And do you give Governor Cuomo, Mayor de Blasio, apparently act a little bit slower than Governor DeWine, Governor Pritzker, Governor Newsom, and some others? Do they get the same pass because their communication styles are so much better than this president's, or have they done a great job in sort of playing catch up with testing and so forth? How do you judge it? It's hard for me to understand how if you take New York out, we've done as well as most of these other countries, or death rates closer to what Germany's is, which has really done a pretty good job, I think, by all accounts. Do you give Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio sort of a pass based on better style and communication efforts, because those are so important?
Yeah, so I'm specifically talking about Governor Cuomo, because I would say Mayor de Blasio has been very inconsistent with his messaging at times. So interestingly, I included Governor Cuomo last because I know he's the most controversial of those, and New York's numbers have been higher. Here's my take on New York. New York was exposed early because they have tons of international travel, particularly from China, coming into New York. And New York City is also ripe for a pandemic with the way people, are just so densely packed in New York City. So, you would expect higher numbers out of New York. And I do think New York was a little slower than some of the other governors that I mentioned to respond. But what I would say is I think the messaging coming out of Governor Cuomo has been very solid, very consistent, very even keel, and very driven by science. And those are the things that I want from a leader during a global pandemic.
It does seem, as you more and more watch either Germany's response on one hand, which has been, they've got death rates per capita that are half or lower than ours have been so far, that they did a better job. And it's very interesting, it was very decentralized as well, even though Angela Merkel's a great communicator, a very decentralized model. But a ton of testing, twice as much per capita as we've done, and it's probably done a great job of informing their situation. Let me turn to a different subject. We're in this incredibly complicated time in terms of money management. What do you do in terms of where do you put your savings? Where do you handle? How do you handle money at a time like this?
Yeah, so I think the answer to this question starts by saying it depends on when you need your money, right? So I'll give you my personal circumstances. My kids are young enough, I'm young enough that I'm not going to need this money tomorrow. So my savings are not designed to carry me tomorrow. So I'm a big believer in dollar cost averaging. I would encourage for those who need their money more long term, I encourage continued investment in stocks and mutual funds. And I shifted my portfolio to be more in the market when it went down so I can benefit as it rebounds. Now, one piece of advice, my sister was calling me every day lamenting over how her portfolio was going down, how her savings were decreasing. And I told her, for your own mental health, stop checking it every day. Unless you need it tomorrow, don't look at it every day. Otherwise, it's going to drive you, crazy. So that's another piece of advice I would have. And then finally, I would just say that it's worth watching for companies and stocks that stand to benefit from a new economy, from a very different economy after this pandemic. My son is I said, he's getting ready to head off to college. And one of the things I did for him, he's going to be in the business school and he wanted to learn about business. And so I set up a small E-Trade account that he manages. And if it grows, he gets the gain. And if it declines, I'll take the loss. And when the quarantines came down, we were talking about companies that were going to be very important during this new economy. And we talked about Zoom. So he put money into Zoom. And at a time when the stock market lost 30 to 35% of its value, he made a gain. And I think there are companies to watch for. I used to work for Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson is one of the companies that's in discussion for producing a vaccine most quickly. And so their stock has soared. It's worth watching that. And I suspect that there will be telehealth companies that are worth watching as well. And I think it's worth just keeping an eye on value as the economy changes.
Thank you very, very much. And I think great thoughts and great advice and great learning for your son and your sister and others. The last question I've got for you today, Bill, is what have you learned from this? Tell us two or three things you've learned from this entire situation.
Yeah, I've got a couple. So superficially, I learned that cutting hair is much harder than it looks. The good news is hair also grows back, so I don't know that by the time the quarantines are lifted, anyone will notice that. And the second thing I learned is that being a teacher is hard, so I have newfound respect for those roles. But on a serious note, here are some things that I picked up, and I mentioned most of these earlier. I think there are a lot of good techniques for managing your mental state, your mental health. For me personally, it's been biking, yoga, ukulele, time with the family. For others, it may be meditation, running, knitting. I know my wife enjoys doing that just to pass the time. And the key is that each individual needs to have a strategy for helping with mental relief. A second piece to that is one of the things I've been working on in my own life is focus on what you can control. And the converse to that is do not waste time and energy worrying about things you cannot control, right? In this time of the quarantine, you don't control when the state is going to, open the economy, I guess is the new phrase. You know, those things are out of your control. So what you've got to do is focus on what you can control, how to do your job the best way possible, how to be present with your family the best way possible, and make the best of it. And then last but not least, one thing I've also learned is that staying busy is a good thing. You know, I've done lots of home projects. We had a truckload of mulch to deliver to my house, and my son and I spent 3 hours a day for six straight days moving mulch. And it turned out, in retrospect, it was a great thing. You know, it wore him out, burned off some energy, and he was much easier to deal with during those times. And I'm suspicious that my wife would say the same about me. Now, not a personal learning, but something that was reaffirmed for me, and we talked about this with Angela Merkel, but I believe that science has been consistently undervalued in the U.S. And I think that one thing that we're seeing and hopefully learning from this is the value of science and the importance of incorporating science into many of the policy decisions that we make in the U.S. And I'm hopeful that this isn't just something that lingers during a pandemic, but then fades away again.
Well, Bill, thank you for taking the time to talk today. A pleasure to hear your voice and your thoughts on so many issues of the day. What a great pleasure, and continued good luck. And let's hope that people stay safe and that we're also able to reopen the economy as this gets clearer and better. But Bill, thank you so much for joining us. What a pleasure visiting with you.
Thanks, Scott. Stay safe.
You too. Kate, are you good on sound and everything?
Yep, sounded great to me.
Bill, you're terrific. Thank you so much. Please keep in touch, and I'll keep on bothering you. Thank you very, very
much. Sounds good. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Kate.
Just great.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Kate, this will be a Becker Group podcast, and if we can get out next week, it'd be fantastic, okay?
Yep, will do.
Thank you so much.
Have a good weekend, guys.
I'll talk to you in a little bit. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.